Your name?
Zan Sam Joy.
What brings you to D.C.?
Ending war.
How'd you get here?
I hopped on this truck right here and filled my tanks up with waste vegetable oil. Got a friend to come, another Code Pinker to come with me, and a veteran for peace also drove his truck. And we came out from California. We drove out and stopped in cities all along the country and did protests. And we also tried to gather people, tell people about what's happening in D.C., and urge people to seriously consider coming to Washington, D.C., this 10th terroriversary of the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan. 10 years we've been occupying this poor country, the second poorest country in the world. And we know how war ends in this country. We've ended war in my lifetime. We ended war because millions of people were out in the street and stayed out in the street. They didn't go out in the street for a couple months before something happened. They went out in the street and stayed out in the street. And that's what we have to do now. That's why I'm here. That's why I so support this occupation of Washington, D.C.
What were some of the responses that you got as you stopped across the country?
Some were very heartening and others were disheartening. War is so horrific. It hurts my heart just thinking about it. But what hurts my heart even more is when people are apathetic, when they don't say a word, when they don't respond at all, or when they say, or if they say, oh, yeah, it's terrible, but I'm busy. I have to work. I have to go to school. I have to do this. All of us have to do those things. But if everybody's busy doing those things, who's going to be busy ending war? So the apathy was one response. There were many people who already knew about this action that was happening that was so heartening. And there were too many people who had no idea this action was happening. So that was disheartening. And then, of course, there were still those people who were like screaming at me, you know, or us, and calling us names. And one woman in North Carolina actually said, we need to nuke them. You know, and I believe that's a Rush Limbaugh thing, because at one point when I was traveling across the country, maybe in 2004, a lot of people were saying, nuke Iraq and make it into a parking lot. You know, too many people in too many different places. So hopefully they were repeating. I looked into this woman's eyes and I said, you're talking about women and children. You understand that, right? And she goes, well, they deserve it. Who deserves it? But anyway, so I get all of the reactions from the total right fundamentalist to the total left, people who flag my truck down and cry and give me a hug and say they're so happy to see this in the middle of nowhere, and people who try to run me off the road. You know, so I get quite a big response. And I would urge everyone, we have to, you know, the media's not doing it for us. We have to go around the country and talk with people and inspire them and reach out to them and beg them in the name of stopping killing to get active and help end war.
This is not the first time you traveled the country with this vehicle. And what is some of the history of this truck?
I was in the business of buying and selling for 25 years. I called myself a giant recycler because I bought and sold old things. I found things that people threw out and they didn't value it, or they were moving or whatever, and bought them and resold them to people who did value old stuff. And so I had this truck, and I actually bought it new in the end of 99. So I had it almost 2 years before 9/11. Less than 15,000 miles on it. And when 9/11 happened, I knew Bush was going to take us to war. I knew he was going to use that as an excuse to go to war. And he did immediately bomb Afghanistan, occupy Afghanistan. So I painted on the back of my truck, thou shalt not kill. And I took a trip around the country. And I stopped in gas stations, I went to supermarkets, I just stopped and tried to talk with women about, especially women, because I'm a woman and I feel like women have to stand up, take over, and lead us out of this horrific way we're living. So I tried to talk with them about, do you want us to go to war? Do you think that's a good response for this? You know, we're going to war. So, to 9/11. So then, can I tell you the story of how I got involved with Code Pink? Because it's an amazing story.
Please.
Okay. Do you remember when Congress gave Bush the right to respond to 9/11 any which way he wanted to, and he interpreted that as the right to go to war? And my congresswoman, I'm so happy to say, Barbara Lee, stood up and was one out of 400 and some congresspeople who said no. That day, when that happened, I was so proud of her, but I was so upset and so depressed, and I felt helpless, you know, standing up against 400 and some congresspeople who are supposed to be leading our nation, listening to the people, and I felt disempowered and like we can't do anything. So there was a demonstration at the federal building in San Francisco. So I went to that demonstration and Starhawk was there. Do you know Starhawk?
I heard the name.
She's an amazing activist. She's been an activist all her life. She's a pagan, a witch, and she's here. You should try to find her and talk with her. She is also a co-founder of Code Pink. She started talking about exactly how I was feeling, powerless and like I couldn't do anything. And she said, when we feel that way, we have to know that we're falling under the spell of those people in power. They need us to feel that way. They want us, they have to have us feeling that way in order for them to continue. And she said, we have to recognize it's a spell and step back, and then we have to cast our counterspell. And that Code Pink was a counterspell. Women getting together and working together to prevent war and to end war and to end all violence. And I said, this is a group for me. So I painted this side of my truck with a big peace symbol and Code Pink, Women for Peace. And I put another proud to be another American woman for peace, which I'm not proud to be an American at all, but I wanted to counter those people that was their response to 9/11. Proud to be American, you know, and the flags and all that. I'm very ashamed of what my government is doing in my name and our corporations are doing. So so anyway, that's what I painted on this side of my truck. So I added it to the Thou Shalt Not Kill on the back, and then that. And then I painted the other side of the truck. And I took off around the country and tried to gather people to demonstrate, join demonstrations. There were lots of existing demonstrations in the little towns, big towns, you know, everywhere. And tried to talk with people about ending war.
How did those conversations go, and did they get were people more open to an anti-war message in later years, around September 11, 2001? How did those conversations go over the years?
Well, the farther away we went from the farther the time went from 2003 when we attacked Iraq, the more supportive the people were. But right around the invasion of Iraq, people were really, you know, bought into that rah rah, let's go kill them, shock and all, crap. And I used to keep track of the negative and positive responses, and different cities and different states had different responses. And you know, the closer I was to a military base or to a red state, the more negative the responses were. But then there would be that one person, you know, I'd pull into the supermarket and hang out, and there'd be that one person who would be following me or who would run out and say, oh my God, I thought I was the only one.
Any final thoughts you care to share on this have now entered the second decade of war in Afghanistan. It's the 10th anniversary, which is what this Occupy DC at Freedom Plaza that was timed in conjunction with that. And you've got your truck just on the other side of Freedom Plaza here in DC. Any final thoughts you care to share? And thanks so much for your time and for your wonderful truck.
Thank you. Yeah, there's lots of thoughts I have to share. You know, I want people to think about, especially people who are under 50 years old, to think about where they would be today in this country if millions of people hadn't gotten out in the street during the civil rights movement, during the women's movement, during the Vietnam War movement. If people would have reacted the way people are reacting now, if we would have reacted back then, where would you be? You know, we know it takes numbers out in the street to get the attention of those people in power. People like to say they're not listening. I like to say we're not talking loud enough. We have to have a voice. We have to be activists. We have to rise up. We have to get out in the street, and we have to do it today. Though every single moment we wait will make it harder for us to change things, harder for us to end war, and will make it so difficult for our children and their children to survive in the future, let alone the present, the people in Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, Somalia, Libya, that we are presently bombing 6 countries. Come to DC, work next year, go to school next year. There's people all over the world that are postponing their education, postponing getting rich, to confront their governments and to build the kind of world, the kind of country, the kind of community we want to live in. I don't think most of us really want to live this way. I know it's scary for people, but we have to face that fear. And when we face that fear and do something, that's how we get courageous. That's how we get courage, you know? So come to DC. If you can't come today, you can't come next week, come the week after. You can't stay for more than a day, stay for a day. You can't stay for 3 months, stay for as long as you can. And then make sure you have somebody to take your place when you go home. 2 people.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Peter.